Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
We're getting close. The Lakers have reportedly narrowed their head coaching search down to three. However, it's Bucks assistant Darvin Ham, who LeBron is reportedly signing off on. All right, Shannon, should Jeannie Buss pick the coach that LeBron wants?
No. Jeannie Buss should pick the coach that she feels is best to lead this organization. I love how LeBron, when LeBron wanted Ty Lue, Jeannie Buss said no. But when she wanted Russell Westbrook, he said yeah, because see, it's easy to blame. See, because now things go well, we'll just put this on LeBron. At the end of the day, Rob Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, they have the final decision. So why wasn't Monty Williams hired? Why wasn't Ty Lue hired? LeBron James signed off on both of those guys. Nobody said a word. Hire Frank Vogel, seem to work out. Now, I don't blame that on Frank Vogel. I understand that he had to go because you can't fire all the players, but it was a disaster from the beginning. Nobody thought this mess was going to work. Nobody. Only the Lakers. Why? I have no idea. But no, Jeannie Buss need to hire whomever I deem is going to be the best fit coach this organization. Not just coach LeBron James, not just coach our superstar players, but who is the best coach? But, I mean, looking at these candidates, they're going to get micromanaged. I mean, Darvin Ham, this is his first-time job. How do you say no to the Lakers for a first-time job? Very few people, Skip, we've seen guys take jobs when we know it's not the right situation for them, Skip. But I don't know, Skip. I might not never get an opportunity to be a head coach again. I better go ahead and jump on this. That's why you see a lot of coaches, they become better coaches the second time around than they were the first time around.
Okay, but back to the biggest question, who right now is the most important Los Angeles Laker by far?
Oh, LeBron.
By far, right? Because if nothing else, you're going to have the biggest sideshow in professional basketball and professional sports as he passes Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the all-time leading point scorer in the NBA. It will become
You're absolutely
epic,
right.
Right? So
yes. And they'll have just as many national televised games as the team that wins the championship this year. LeBron James will be on television. The Lakers will be on television as much as the Warriors, the Celtics, or whomever win the title. LeBron James Lakers, because the more compelling story next year is what, Skip? Passing Kareem.
And it's a sideshow that will become the show for the Lakers. Does that mean they can't make the playoffs? No, it doesn't. They should make the playoffs. But again, what do I always say about LeBron? Who has the highest basketball IQ in the NBA? It's LeBron. I don't think it's even close. We can argue various other players we're watching right now, Luka or Steph or whoever you want to talk about, Draymond. But in the end, it's LeBron. So if he's your centerpiece, if he's your cornerstone, even though he's starting to show some signs of age, wouldn't you seek his input on who the coach would be? Even short term, because you're not sure how long LeBron will play, although I'm sure he would tell you today, I can play 3 more years, 4 more years, 5 more years, and I do want to play with Bronny, so I want the ability to exit stage left if I have to join Bronny elsewhere to realize my dream of playing for at least 1 year with my son.
No, Skip. I'm not saying that you shouldn't run it by him, but I am saying he shouldn't be the de facto voice that LeBron wants him, even though I don't feel he's the best guy for the organization. Absolutely. Okay, LeBron, we whittled it down to 3 candidates. Who do you feel most comfortable with? But if Skip, at the end of the day, you're my best VP. I'm the CEO. I'm going to run things by you, Skip, because you're there day to day. But at the end of the day, I've got to do what I feel, but I don't, you know what? Damn. I just think this other situation would be better. I'm going to go in that direction. I'm going to value your input. I really do. I'm going to take your opinion to heart. But at the end of the day, Skip, I've got to do what I feel is in the best interest of the organization, although I am listening to what LeBron has to say.
Okay. I think that this would be the first time in many, many years that you would have an NBA situation that would call for a player coach. Because I think that next year LeBron could coach this team while playing for this team better than any interloper head coach coming in from outside in would be able to coach this team. Oh, that's just me.
So he's gonna be a Kyrie and KD next year.
What's that? Say.
So he's gonna be a Kyrie and KD next year. You know they coached the Nets. They don't need Steve Nash.
I don't think they paid a lot of attention to what Steve Nash had to say, but again, that's Kyrie and KD, and I always say Kyrie's more the leader and KD's the follower. But in this case, LeBron is clearly the leader of this team, and if, in fact, you force them to keep Westbrook, I seriously, from my heart, I believe LeBron could coach this team better as a player, as the point guard, even though Russ has to be partially the point guard, than any Darvin Ham could coach it, or Terry Stotts, or Kenny Atkinson. Yet the problem is the dysfunction of the system that's in place. Because you have a Phil Jackson and a Kurt Rambis who want coaching input from above. They want to be able to coach the coach. Well, obviously, LeBron would be the last guy who would sit still for those guys telling him how to run the show as far as pure basketball went. But I'm just telling you, That would be more intriguing to me. I think it could generate not only more buzz, but more victories, I believe, if LeBron were allowed to coach the team. Now, again, knowing him, he'd say, I don't want the onus of it. I don't want the responsibility of it. I don't want the distraction of it. And I know for a fact they don't want that because they're more like Dallas Cowboy-esque. It's funny, like Lakers, Cowboys, yeah. Yankees, but it's like, the Lakers have, in a different way, become the Cowboys because Jerry, he wants to coach the coach. He wants a puppet coach. And I think Genie and company want somebody that they feel like they have some control over, see Darvin Ham. Because Darvin comes in, poor Darvin, what cachet does he have? What leverage, bargaining power does he? He's got none because he's never been a head coach. None. So you hire him.
Go ahead. Now we're gonna say you're right. He had Skip first time head coaching, and I get the Los Angeles Lakers. Kenny Atkinson is gonna be happy to have a job. So Woody. Is Terry Stotts.
Yep.
So yeah, you're absolutely right.
So in the end, it's like to me, it's Darvin Ham or bust under the current setup that is the dysfunctional Lakers. That's the only one I can see where they feel like we still have control over him, and again. It is reported that LeBron at least likes Darvin Ham. I'm sure he knows him a little bit, and he respects him.
How about this, Skip? I got a trade for you.
Great points,
gentlemen. Let's trade. Jim, let me get this trade for Skip. Let me see what he thinks about it. We're going to trade Russell Westbrook, Talen Horton-Tucker, and that first-round draft pick to Chicago for Zach LaVine. Reunite Russ with his coach, Billy Donovan, and we get Zach LaVine. What you think about that?
Chicago would never do it in a million years. Why would they want Russell Westbrook when they've got Lonzo Ball?
Because Zach LaVine is a free agent, and we can go wherever we want to, and you can't franchise basketball players.
Okay, why don't you just give the Lakers the playoff? Just give them. Maybe if the league mandated that, they'd do it, but there's no way the Bulls are going to do that.
I'm proposing a trade, Skip. You get something. Are you going to let him walk for nothing?
I would just cut him. Just me.
You can't. He's a free agent. We got us a deal.
I like this role as you two Delusion. As GMs. Good stuff, guys. No
mercy. Hey, college football fans. Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
The USFL continues to deliver every weekend with down-to-the-wire games, innovative new tech, and wild moments. Skip and Shannon this morning are ready to break down their favorite plays from Week 6, starting with the Pittsburgh Maulers, who were looking poised to score until New Orleans Breakers DB Ike Brown took it the other way with this pick 6.
You know, there's nothing more disappointing to an offense than what looks like to be a score, and all of a sudden it's a score for the other team. It's so demoralizing, Skip. I don't know why the guy threw that. You just sailed that one over his head out of the end zone because he's covered on the inside, and he throws it outside behind the guy, and it's a pick six the other way.
But Shannon, it looked like Bad Lee and his receiver were completely on different pages because he went to the sideline, as we saw later in the highlight, and had issues with the coaching staff and his receiver. It's like the route went one way and he threw it the other way. So it's Ike Brown, I guess, just stood right there and just caught it and ran with it. He didn't do anything that special. It just fell right into his literal lap.
Well, Skip, you look like he's wanting the guy to settle down because he sees the inside guy that's going to jump the route. So he said, just settle down and let me put it on your back shoulder. And he goes in there and, well, the rest is a reservation for six into the end zone.
Yes, it is.
As a New Orleanian, it sure was fun to watch. All right, New Jersey Generals receiver Kevontae Turpin caught the pass and hit the defender with some nifty footwork as he walked in for the score.
Hey, DB, you need to pick that up off the ground. Like, pick up what? Your jock, because he shook you up out of it.
He did.
That was a great move, Skip. It's hard to tackle these guys in the open field. Give these guys credit. When they can tackle a receiver or running back into the open in the open field, they need to get a lot of credit because these guys are really, really shifty. And to get him on the ground in space, you actually done something.
Kevontae goes about 5'9", 150 pounds out of Monroe, Louisiana and TCU. And when they got him on the safety, who for a second jumped on the inside route, and now it's the safety in space against little Turpin, it was game over.
Yeah, you probably saw this against Oklahoma. I'm sure he did this at TCU while he was at TCU.
I do remember him, and he bedeviled us.
And the secret handshake celebration to go along with it. All right, the New Jersey Generals dug into their bag of trick plays. They ran a Philly special late to set up the game-winning score.
You know what, Skip? I kind of wanted this play to score because when we think Philly special, we think of Nick Foles in the Super Bowl and actually scoring. But because it did lead to the game-winning touchdown, you know what? I'm going to have to give it a lot more credit than what I would have done had they not scored the game-winning touchdown on this play. I think Philly special, I'm automatically thinking, get the ball into the end zone. But they didn't on this play, but they did later in the drive.
You know, Luis Perez is another interesting quarterback in this league because he's been in the NFL. He's bounced around to three teams. The Rams originally signed him as an undrafted free agent out of Texas A&M Commerce, where he was, by the way, the Division II National Player of the Year, and they won the national championship. So he's got game. He's got a little bit of NFL legacy to fall back on. Maybe he's got another shot in the NFL coming up. But on this play, it doesn't look like at 6'3", 225, he's much of a runner with the football because the play doesn't really go places. But to your point, it did contribute to a game-winning drive. So, way to go.
I know a quarterback that had a very similar play.
I knew it.
Yep. And he dropped his moment. Yep. He dropped his one shining moment.
Are we talking about...
And Nick Foles got hit.
We're talking about the Super Bowl against Philly in which Danny Amendola threw it over Brady's head and he couldn't catch it because he's not a wide receiver and it would have been a great catch even for Shannon Sharp to make that catch.
All I can remember hearing playing in my head was that Luther Vandross one shining moment.
Really?
And then all of a sudden the record scratched.
Huh. Wait, was that the same game in which Tom Brady threw for a playoff record 505 yards and lost because Belichick gave up 41 points to the backup quarterback that game?
So you blaming Coach Belichick?
I am. That was the all-time Belichickian loss.
Nick Foles, I gunned you guys.
I don't ever remember Shannon Sharp missing a catch like that. All right, gentlemen, no. Saturday it's a USFL primetime showdown between the New Orleans Breakers and Jeff Fisher's Michigan Panthers. Kickoff 9 Eastern on FS1. Then Sunday, the league-leading Birmingham Stallions take on those Pittsburgh Maulers 2 Eastern on Fox. Back to Luka and the Mavs. Luka has had back-to-back 40-point games. However, the Mavericks still down 3-0 against the Warriors. After last night's loss, Luka talked about how he still has room to grow. Take a listen.
Like I say, you know, I'm still learning. I think the first two quarters, I played very bad. That's on me. But I'm still learning. And I think, you know, after this season is done, whatever we are, I think I'm going to look back, you know, and learn a lot of things. You know, it's my first time in conference finals in the NBA. So I'm 23, man. I'm still learning a lot.
Shannon, we're putting you on the hot seat. Do you think Luka deserves a pass because he's only 23?
No, he doesn't deserve a pass, but it's understandable. I think what has happened, Skip, is that you was covering these guys. Bird and Magic ruined it for everybody. You get a 20-year-old come straight out of college, and he leads a team to the NBA championship, and he's finals MVP. Mm. But what people fail to realize, Skip, is that he had the MVP of the league, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, on his team. At that time, you could make a case that Kareem was the greatest player to have played at that point in time. You could make that case. Jamal Wilkes is in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Norm Nixon was a very good player. And then you get Magic. Larry.
Yep.
Larry had Kevin McHale, top 75 player. Robert Parrish, top 75 player. Nate Tiny Archibald, top 75 player. Cedric Cornbread Maxwell was the finals MVP. Nate Archibald, Robert Parrish, and Larry Bird all finished in the top 10 in voting. Luka Doncic don't have a guy that's a top 300 player on his roster. Or I don't know if he's ever played with a top 300 guy since he's been into the league. So it's a very fine line, Skip. Luka knows I can score 40, but at what expense? Does me scoring 40, does that negate or get my teammates out of a rhythm, Skip? So that's the problem that he has. He's LeBron-esque because LeBron is more of a willing passer than Luka is. Luka, like, I can go get my points anytime I want to. But sometimes in doing that, Skip, guys are standing around, man, man, Luka doing that thing, Eddie. Yay! Yeah, but you're getting out of rhythm. So, Skip, he makes that's not an excuse now, because you were 23 when you had that 19-point lead in game two. You was 23. But, Skip, it is a fine line to learn how to play the game the right way all the time and eventually get your guy over the hump. And, Skip, guess what? Unless he gets more help at 24, 25, 26, it's not going to happen. The days of a superstar being able to drag, Skip, I don't believe you'll ever see another LeBron James. What he did in 2007, what he did in 2018, Skip, you're not going to see that again. These teams are too good. More teams than not, Skip, they got two really, really good players, if not great players, and one great guy can't overcome them. So for me, he is still learning. He's still trying to figure out that fine line between how much do I score, how much do I pass, but his problem is going to be, bruh, you got to at least pinch somebody. You got to do, Skip, come on, Skip. You just can't just a turnstile to the basket, Luka. I'm sorry, you can't. Because what's going to happen is that you're going to find guys that they can negate you. If you score 40 and he scores 33, you've done nothing. So he's young. He's 23 years of age. There are not very many 23-year-olds that's ever been better than he is. But, yeah, Skip, it's not an excuse. But I understand what he's talking about.
All right. For once, I appreciate that you brought up your man, LeBron James, because I'm about to give your man, LeBron James, some love and respect that he deserves. LeBron was 22, not 23. He was 22 when he carried a team past the aging, failing Pistons. But he did it. He pulled it off with that game six at Detroit, 48 points and what was it, double overtime. Way to go, LeBron. Yeah. Powered them into the finals. They got swept by the Spurs. But not one time do I ever remember LeBron James sitting at the post-game microphone saying, I'm only 22. I'm learning. You got to give me a break here because I'll figure it out. But this is my first time of this and that. Well, that was LeBron's first time. And I don't remember him making any excuses about I'm just too young, because he was a man child. When he walked in the door at 18 in Sacramento for that first game, I said, he can play. He belongs. He is that guy. He is soon to be the face of not only that franchise, but this league. And LeBron never looked back.
Skip, the problem was LeBron didn't know any better. He didn't know he wasn't supposed to have his team in the NBA Finals at 22 years of age. He just didn't know. He's like, yeah, I could, from the, like you said, the time he stepped on the floor against Sacramento, he's like, I should have been here. What took me so long? I should have been here at like 17, 18.
Okay, and yet he did have Chosen One tattooed on his back coming out of high school. So yes. He's saying, I got, and he adopted or maybe next. Stole Jordan's powder toss, and he wore 23. So he's saying, I got next. I have arrived. I am the next MJ, right. And here we went. And for the most part, he started to back that up. So, again, I honor LeBron today by saying, I never heard boo from him about, I'm too young. I don't know yet. I'll figure it out. This is the first time. Never a word about that. But here we go with Luka again. I don't know. I don't know. It's what, look, back to the infamous Lil Wayne tweet, which I defended on this show.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say the word. Obviously, you call it something, but whatever. The point is, what Wayne was saying was, just play basketball. Quit whining.
Yeah.
Quit complaining. Quit groveling for calls. Quit pouting. Quit flopping. Just play basketball. You obviously can play on the offensive end, so just play. Just play like everybody else does and go about your business and take care of your business. And Wayne's like, I'm fine with it, but I just can't take all the extracurricular that goes on, which added up to the infamous tweet. Well, the point is that Wayne's right about all that, and this is an extension of that now, because after three games, it's not even over yet. I don't want to hear the leader of my team sit up there and say, well, in the offseason, I'll figure it out. Well, help me out, Shannon. To your point and to mine to start this show, do you really believe that Luka is going to learn to play defense this offseason? Because I don't. Does anybody go into the offseason saying, I'm going to work on my defense? Nobody ever does that because it's just a matter of desire. It's want to.
Right.
It's do you care about it or not care about it? Because if you care about it, you have to reach down into your guts and say, I can do this. Well, I see it on occasion from him, but not very often, because he has been the classic defensive liability in this series. He is Luka Doncic, because there's no D in Doncic.
Well, how about this, Skip? How about I say he's young and he figures out he can't bring his ass to camp out of shape?
Well, there you go.
Has to do
That's
a
another
job.
Problem.
He has to do a better job with his nutrition. He has to do a better job of his off-season training. So Skip, forget the game. Forget the game on the court. Let's just chalk up to him being young was why he showed up out of shape, why he wasn't in the conditioning, why he hasn't. Because, Skip, you know when you're 23, man, I'm going to have this body forever. I can eat what I want to. I can eat fries. I can eat this. I can eat candy. I can eat sweets. And everything's going to be fine. But Luka, as a professional athlete, yes, just think about how much better you could be if you were to put quality food into the system. If you were to train and did the things that was necessary, man, even when you're at that level, Skip, and when you're that great, Skip, they're not trying to get 10%. They're trying to get 0.5%.
They are.
1% better.
Yep.
I mean, the average person is trying to get to 5, 10, 15%. But not when you're at that level, because you don't increase that much. You're trying to get one tenth or 1% could be the difference.
Okay.
So that's what Luka, the inexperience, Skip, and the youngness is coming in. But I do think, Skip, it's easy to get frustrated. I'm passing you guys, and you guys wide open, and you clank, clank, clank. Skip, at some point in time, I'm like, just, man, forget that. I ain't throwing it to him. But Luka also needs to understand, Skip, when guys go straight up, and you're at the basket, and they don't call a foul, that's telling me Skip, I go into a game and I see the way they calling the game, man, they're not calling anything. Okay, you're not calling anything. I'm going to start pushing off. I'm going to play the game how you officiating. You not calling the tugging and the pushing and grabbing that he's doing? Well, I'm feeling that they're not going to call the pushing off and the grabbing and the tugging that I'm doing.
Okay.
Luka needs to understand that, Skip. Every time he's like.
Okay, last point.
And it gets frustrating.
I understand. But I'm going to remind you, Luka played in Europe, played professional basketball since he was like 14 years of age. So we have to
right.
give him some credit that he came over here much better prepared than a lot of kids come out of high school
oh, yeah,
or one year
absolutely.
Of college to play pro basketball
yeah.
in our system here. And he was obviously
yes.
highly skilled when he first stepped on a court. That was 4 years ago. He's played 4 years of NBA basketball. And I told you that going into Friday night's game, the numbers say he's a lousy shooter from three and from the free throw line because he was 34% from three going in. That was for these playoffs and career. And he was 74% from the free throw line for these playoffs and for his career. He's on a hot streak, and I honor the hot streak. I say that's progress because, to your point, the last two games, he shot 47% from threes, almost 500, and he's 84%
right.
from the – that's what's been shocking me. He's stepping up there and shooting those with conviction like he knows what he's doing now. Well, you better
correct.
Because you're going to get to the free throw line a whole bunch of times before this is over. So I see progress,
yes.
but I don't want to hear about I'm young. You're really actually middle-aged in this game.
Man, I bet I've been 23 and no middle-aged.
Middle-aged.
This series turns out,
pro basketball
guys,
since 14.
That'll go a long way in shaping Luka's reputation. Great stuff. We got to leave it there, though.
No mercy.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to The Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.